You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the BingeCast.
Welcome to the BingeCast. My name is Jim Law. I work for bingemedia.net. You can find us everywhere you want to find us, and we do podcasts for everything that you want to listen to. I whipped out an old school intro because I'm here with an old school guest. Everyone else on the network decided to leave me this week, but that's okay because I found one Jimmy O, James Oster from Joblo.com. What's going on, buddy?
Oh my God. It's weird. Doesn't feel like it's been years.
We have been doing Binge Media, I believe, for 6 years. So I've been gone for six years.
No, it's been a while, and I'm glad to be on. I'm glad to. It was good to hear from you, actually. It's been such a long. I mean, honestly, this whole year has been like 2020. Obviously, has been an odd year. Been kind of weird to kind of get in touch with people I haven't talked to in a long time. It's been a fairly regular occurrence, I've noticed.
Yeah, well,
I guess
I reached out to you a couple times. We couldn't make it happen, but I do regularly try to reach out to you every once in a while.
You do.
You are the only guy too from the old site that I tried to. Mike Sampson's officially banned from Binge Media. I haven't really said that, but no, I mean, I've tried to hook up with him so many times, and he always says yeah, and then last second dumps me. So I don't want to ask him anymore. But I know I can rely on you every once in a while. And what better time? You know, it's October. I always think of you. Come horror season, your love of horror movies.
I'm excited. What I'm excited about is we haven't had the chance to talk tentacles in ages.
Oh, God damn it.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? The whole show is tentacles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yep. Okay, good. Good. I was hoping.
I still haven't seen it, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, my God. It's on YouTube, man. You can watch on YouTube. It's on YouTube, I'm sure.
There's, like, no rights to the movie anymore. It's just on YouTube.
Oh, now you know what? Now I want to look it up on Amazon and see if I can. Because I don't own it. I don't have a copy of Tentacles. Nobody owns it. But I did watch it about 3 years ago, like just to, you know, because I was in a oceanography type of mood to watch just Piranha, Jaws, Devilfish, Alligator, you know, all slugs.
Yes.
Tentacles. I was going through, Squirm, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Squirm is a good movie. That's oh my good. God, that movie's messed up. Yeah, yeah. I can't believe you haven't seen Tentacles.
No, I've never seen Tentacles.
You had days to prepare. You could have been like, oh, you know, I'm going to watch.
You know what I did in those days? I prayed you wouldn't bring up tentacles. That's what I did in those days.
Yeah, that there is no God, apparently, because I...
So anyone that hasn't listened to us for a long time, new listeners, we used to work with Jimmy O at the old site, me, Marano, Ammon, mm-hmm. and we got hired right around the same time. That was the whole group. It was me, you, Ammon, Marano, Eric. It was all within that little, like a year's time. And mm-hmm. We kind of grew up through the site. We ended up going to Comic-Con, where I first met you. The first time I ever met you, we were at Comic-Con, but you weren't actually there covering anything for us. You just showed up to say hi to us. Remember that?
Outside the hotel. Well, I did one job. I was there for one thing, and that was for... Death Sentence for the James Wan movie. Okay. And it was really, that was a cool experience. And it was, you know, it's funny. I covered Comic-Con a lot in my years. I'm still, you know, obviously still very happy at the Joe Blow, and I'm really enjoying it. But it's like, I don't miss Comic-Con at all.
I was going to lead into that. It must've been weird around there this year, because it's such a big deal for you guys to go, and I know everyone that wants to go, like that gets to go, loves it so much, and it's such a big deal. So, was it a big disappointment around the office? Other than you, like I understand. I had fatigue. I only went like 4 or 5 years, and I was like, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm good. Let someone else do it. Basically.
I think it's still, you know, I think we're all kind of feeling, it's very corporate now. It's very big. It's like just, you know, when you're coming from the hotel and you cross the street, it's literally like you're just, everywhere you go is people. And I don't know. I'm getting to a point where I'm just like, I'm getting older now. I don't need that in my life. I don't need to be surrounded by a ton of people. And, you know, and I get it. I still think it's fun for people. I still think, you know, especially the fans that are there to watch the stuff. But I who knows what's going to happen now? I mean, I think with COVID, you know, and the way things are in this business, I think we're going to see a change in how things are done. And good or bad, I don't know what those changes are. I think it's going to affect a lot in film, just in general. Whether we're talking theaters, who knows when we're going to see theaters really go back to what they were. I mean, maybe it's just going to be special theaters, a few that show the big movies, and everything else is going to be on your TV. I don't know. I don't know where we're going. Anyone knows.
But which way, personally, like, would you want it? Like, do you want new releases in your house, or do you want to go to the theater?
I like the idea of, see, I don't I love going to the theater. I love going to movies. I love the movie going experience. You know, I live real close to Hollywood, and you know, I'll take my kid to go see some cool flick, and then we'll go to, you know, over at the ArcLight, and then we'll go to Amoeba when Amoeba was open. We'd go and, you know, watch. The best nights were when we'd go to Amoeba, see a free show, because they'd have some show. Then we'd go over, do a screening of whatever movie I was covering or whatever I was seeing. Wow, I miss that. Yeah. I miss that a lot. Yeah, I certainly don't want theaters to go the direction of video stores. Remember them? Mm-hmm. You know? I don't want that, because, you know, I work with Flicks for Fans, where we have theater experiences. Because it's 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. We did an event, literally fell on March 13th, right before everything was going insane. And we had to be careful then. We were like, okay, let's, you know, we're separating the seats, because we knew it was there, but we didn't know how serious. We didn't know how bad it was going to get.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I don't think anyone got sick from our event, which is good. Okay. But, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking, but, like, literally after that, theater shut down. And they're not, I think they're open, like, in Orange County. I don't think they're open here in L.A. But, and look, I'm not, I'm not jumping at the, I didn't jump at the chance to go see Tenet in theaters. I don't want to see it. I have no interest in going to a theater right now.
Yeah.
Just don't. Yeah. None.
There's nothing that'll get you to a theater? Like nothing is in the works? Nothing, eh? Yeah, you're like one of our guys on our staff.
Not right now.
One of our guys on our staff, Pete, you know, he's a big fan of film and he loves to watch movies in theaters, but he says there's literally nothing. And listen, I get it. Like, obviously it's different where you are than where I am. Like, it's not that, it's not as bad here. When we had a little stretch there a few weeks ago, like when Tenet came out, I can't remember what else came out that weekend, but I went to the, I was itching so bad. I went to the theater 3 times in 1 weekend just because I could, you know what I mean? Like I was able to do it again. But there's been nothing since, and everything that I expected to go see in the theater is now being announced, you know, streaming wise. I'm like, it's depressing me, man. Like I want to go to the theater, whether it's to bring my kids to see the next big Marvel movie or whether it's just for me to get away and go by myself in a fucking matinee. Like that's my life. Like that was my life. You know what I mean? I don't want that to change, but I get it. I get Pete is the guy I'm talking about, and you don't want to, that's going to get you through.
Are we talking about the same Pete?
Pete MC?
What's his last name?
Sentinel?
Yeah, of course. I love that guy. Yeah. He's the best. Yeah, I love that guy so much.
I mean, it's just, it's two different places too. Like we're obviously it's not as bad here. It's still bad. I mean, there's still people that react the same way that people do in Hollywood or in Jersey or whatever, but I don't know. It's just, it's different, but that doesn't mean we're getting more movies. We're getting the same movies everyone else is. And that's none. Absolutely none right now.
Well, I mean, right now, like we're getting, you know, what's big here is the drive-in. And I know a lot of people that have gone to the drive-in. I'm not even interested in that, to be honest. No. I would rather, you know, I have a kid and it's becoming, my family has adapted to just being at home. And, you know, the wife works from home. My kid has schooling at home. Everything's at home. And it's, I don't mind that. I don't mind, like, my job's at home. Like, I'm still working. I'm still doing junkets. I'm still doing stuff. And I'm just doing it all like this. And we're, you know, junkets are on Zoom. Yeah. So, and I watch the movies on Zoom. And look, one thing I've noticed is, like, the talent seems more comfortable because they're in their own homes. Yeah. You know, I've had some really great interviews with people, and it, just because they're, you know, they're at home and they're like, they're not stuck in the Four Seasons for 8 hours doing interviews with random people.
Are they doing, like, is it still the same, like, there's a train of fucking interviews coming? Are they doing it all at one time still? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like I have 2 junkets coming up. Actually, 3, sorry. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they space it out. Honestly, that part hasn't changed. Like, it's the only thing that's changed is it's not at a hotel or it's not at a site.
Yeah.
And the last Insight thing I did was for Kevin Smith opened up movies here, and they had a socially distanced kind of a introduction to movies, and it was one of those pop-up restaurants.
Yeah.
Coolest thing ever, by the way.
Yeah.
God. If you're a Kevin Smith fan, I don't even think you need to be a Kevin Smith fan, because not only was it cool, but the food was really good.
Really?
Like, legitimately, I was shocked. I was like, oh my god, this isn't going to be that great. It's going to be kind of, you know, this crappy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, this is like best burger I've had in ages. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, it was a good thing. I don't know. It's weird because I've become a homebody anyways, and I don't really go out much. I just, I'm just kind of going into dad mode full time more so than besides I've got these projects. I've got, like, obviously the junkets. I've got this new show, Sounds Scary, which has been a really fun, amazing experience. And we get to go into these deep, hour-long conversations with our guests, and then I've got another podcast coming out, which it's a lot of fun. It's called Something Stony. Okay. It's with a buddy of mine, Justin Butts, who's got the greatest name ever, and we basically how do I put this? So sounds scary, we talk horror, right? Yeah. We talk music, we talk horror. Something stony, we talk about everything. Meanwhile, there is some weed involved. So,
okay.
Yes, it's a very different animal. We talk about everything, and we just talk, and, you know, slowly as the hour and a half or so progresses, we get a little more into the conversation. Like, all right. Well, yeah,
I want to hear about that, but let's start with Sound Scary. Let's start.
Okay.
I want to hear about this because I've watched it. You were very excited about it when I was trying to get you to come on the podcast. So mm-hmm. How did this thing start? Like, how long have you been doing it? I want to say this, though. I did watch the episode on YouTube, and then you told me that there was a couple of or four episodes on Amazon Prime, not in Canada.
Yeah. What?
Nope, it's not in Canada.
No, that sucks.
Yeah, and then the other thing, VidSpace, you had to sign up and fucking, so I didn't. So that one episode is the only one I could watch. Sorry, but I tried.
Fair enough. Okay. No, the good thing about VidSpace, it's a really awesome streaming service. I've kind of become a bigger part of it. It's executive produced, created by Nick Groff. Obviously Ghost Adventures, Paranormal Lockdown. He has a new show coming out called Death Walker, which is freaking awesome.
Oh yeah.
And Elizabeth Saint is she's like amazing. This woman is amazing. She runs a site and she does such amazing work. And there's a lot of great original content. And what happened for us was, a good buddy of mine, Ryan Coltrera, We used to do on for Joe Blow. We did a show called Where It Was Made, where we'd go. You know, he would go and I was kind of producing the show and stepping in for a cameo and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a couple other little projects. And I've always wanted to do something with music. I like music, and I don't know. We just started talking about, well, what if we do like a show that focuses on genre but music as well, so we can talk about the score from The Shining or the score from Halloween or stuff like that. And we ended up shooting an episode with this buddy of mine, Ian Honeyman, who also did the soundtrack. He does the opening score to the opening song to it, score, whatever. It was fun. It was fun. We shot the episode, sent it over to VidSpace to see what they thought, and they liked it. And since then, we've had everyone from, we had Ian Honeyman, I had a comedian that's on Twitter named Ronnie Pascal, we've had Patrick Lussier, we've had, we've had so many people, I'm trying to think, Jake Abel stopped by, that's going to be for next season, we had Kevin Smith, he's going to be our season finale, we had Carl Gottlieb, who wrote Jaws. I mean, we're having amazing Chad Lindberg. We've had this amazing group of talent, and it's nice because you have an hour mm-hmm. of just conversation. And it was Kevin Smith was a real treat because it's freaking Kevin Smith, right. And he was really lovely about it and really amazing stories. And that's going to be next Friday. And the thing about VidSpace too is you can basically rent the night for like $5.
Oh, okay.
So you don't pay for the whole thing. You just $5, you watch, you get that content for that night, and all the shows that are on. And honestly, like with Death Walker coming up, with Sound Scary coming up, there's a lot of stuff there. And it's a really positive place to be because I don't have the show is really me and Ryan.
Yeah.
And we don't really our conversations are like, hey, do you want to have this guy on? Sure, why not? Let's do it. And the beauty of the show, it's not always big names. It's people that maybe work in the field or do, we had it's fun. We had a friend of mine, Gavin Michael Booth, who did this amazing film, one of the best films of the year, called Last Call.
I'm friends with Gavin. You know that, right? He's from my hometown.
Are you serious?
He lives here.
Oh, shit. He's on the show, so.
Yeah, I know.
Gavin's a good guy. You should watch his episode.
I went to the world premiere of it here.
Oh, really? Isn't it amazing?
It's incredible. Yeah, I that gushed movie over is, it here. Yeah.
Hands down, one of the best films of the year.
Yeah,
it's hands down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I loved it. I've promoted it constantly on the site. Gavin gave me a screener, and I've actually asked him permission, and I gave that screener out to anybody that's asked me for it. I'm trying to spread the word for that movie a lot.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a fantastic film, and it's a. He's a god. What a nice guy. That's really funny. Actually, I think he did mention you one time when we were having lunch or something. I was like, oh shit, yeah, you know the old crew. So yeah, Gavin's the best. I love Gavin. I mean, he's just a real decent guy and real. I guess I can say this. He said I can say this. I think I might be in one of his films. Depending on what happens with COVID, depending on where things go, I might be doing a film of his. So I'm sure at some point we'll work together. But like there's one thing I may be involved in, and I'm hoping because it's a great role.
That's
a great role. Yeah.
Gavin, my dream always, even when I was just with Joe Blow, was to get my quote on a DVD cover. So when Gavin's film before Last Call, Scarrows, I got my quote on that DVD cover.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh my god. Well, shit.
So he made a dream come true for me. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy, dude. And that's the beauty of the show. It's like, you know, you have these people on, and technically, you know, a lot of times we sell it as a, people are like, oh, it's a blog, or it's a podcast, and it's not really a podcast, because up until the coronavirus became the thing, and kind of kneecapped us all a little bit, we were doing them all in person. So it's weird to watch it, the older episodes, because they're like, oh, we're actually talking to someone in person. Now it's all on Zoom. Now we're just doing them all on Zoom, which is good in a way because it's, you know, people have the free time and
it's easier for everybody, right?
It's easier. It's easy. And I don't think that's going to go away. I don't think that I wouldn't be surprised if junkets and all that stuff from now on are handled this way.
Yeah, remain this way.
And that's not the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And I miss seeing some of the talent. I miss that, the handshakes and that, you know, the personal, but you know, honestly, you still get that, even though it's like you and I are watching each other right now. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know. That's not the worst thing. I think that's one thing I think we could probably, if anything, I think we can learn a lot from this. Just no matter what field you're in, no matter what career you are, I think there are ways to have more people working from home, get less traffic on the road, do a lot of things to better ourselves as a country. And I guess same with you guys, although you guys are handling it a lot better than we are. You know, I think it's something that I don't know. It's so bizarre to not know the direction we're going to go in. It's so bizarre to me, you know. And it's everything I've been doing has been online anyway. So,
well, here's the thing. I watched the one episode. It was the Antebellum episode. And something I think you guys are really proud of because it's a really well done episode. It's for the creators of Antebellum and. So the setup is, you know, like a Zoom meeting or whatever. If you're at a junket, right? You're face to face with them or whatever. But I kind of like the way that you have it set up, right? Because I get to see all four of your reactions to every single thing that's said, right? And it's really well edited too. I wanted to say that because.
Oh, thank you.
Every time that
I'll let Ryan know.
Oh, honestly, every time something's brought up, you know, you either have a picture of what you're talking about, then that's very, very key. You guys I notice you take yourself out. You put the picture over your guy's face instead of their face, which is good. You don't want
to. Look, I mean, with that particular episode, I loved Antebellum, and I know a lot of people did not, because it is very in your face. Critics were a little bit dismissive of it, and I think that's a shame, because I think it has a lot to say. I think it's a great film, and I think it's one of those movies where it has so much potential. It's so much to start a conversation with, and I've known a lot of my friends who have seen it who kind of avoided seeing it because they're like, oh, I heard that it wasn't very good. It's got like a 30 or whatever on Rotten Tomatoes. And then they go and see it. They're like, what movie did they see? Because this is a really interesting film. And I, you know, when I talked to Gerard about it, because I did the junket for it, and I really liked them. They were really nice guys. And I, you know, we followed each other on Twitter. And I, look, I am rarely in a position where I can talk about things that are super important. And right now, racial justice, all of that is really important. And we're in a very, it's a very scary time. And it felt like it was a con. And look, I called up Elizabeth when I was thinking about doing the episode because I was thinking, well, if we have them on, I'm not going to just talk. So you filmed the movie. What's it like to work with Janelle Monáe? I was like, we're going to talk about stuff because I don't want to waste their time. And I don't want, it's an important subject. So I rarely have to do this, but I asked Elizabeth, I said, well, what do you think? And she's like, that's a conversation that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So it was a no brainer. And to talk about, to hear it from, you know, it's funny because it's, me and Ryan and Christopher and Gerard is the only black black guy among us. And right. So it's a bunch of, you know, three white guys. So really it was Gerard's chance to talk about his experiences. And he tells that horror story told in the end. I'm like, that's so heartbreaking to me that anyone would have to go through that. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. It pisses me off. And that's, yeah, that episode was real important to me. Yeah. It was really important to me because I think it was something that needed to be talked about. And I'm glad we were able to do it in a way that tied into movies, but also felt relevant. And it was the one time we've actually released a Sound Scary in conjunction with the actual film.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned.
Because usually, we usually don't do that. And it was a special episode, and I believe we will do more of those at some time down the road. I think it was a lot of fun, and if there's an element or a movie coming out that seems right, we're going to do it. I mean, it's a fun show, and I'm real proud of it. I love our opening sequence. I love our little opening credits. I love the show, and I'm really proud of it. I love working with Ryan. It's really nice to work with good people.
Yeah,
and that's can be hard to find.
Yeah,
you know.
Was it? Did you bring this to Joe Blow, or is this completely like you did it on your own? And yeah.
Oh yeah, no. This is more. This was for what this was with. You know, because I was a film, I judged the film festival for VidiSpace because they've been around for about 2 years now. So we had our first film festival, and that was just something I love. Nick Groff is one of the best people in the world. I love this guy, and I love working with him. I love Elizabeth, and it just seemed like a no-brainer to do a long-form interview show and to, I don't know, go at a little different pace. And, you know, not the 5 minutes for the junket. You got that. That's it.
Yeah.
Get that information. And but I love that too. I like talking to actors and I like talking to filmmakers because I love that. I love movies. I love that kind of feeling of that back and forth and that, you know, and yeah, it's something real special about it. And it's you know, we have, like I said, we have this coming Friday. I don't know, when is this going to air?
Monday.
Okay, yeah, this Friday we have Kevin Smith. And it's honestly one of the coolest interviews. He talks about what the ending of Moose Jaws was going to be, which I don't think he's told that story before. So that's exciting. And then we're going to open up next season with Genesis Rodriguez, and we had an amazing time with her. There is no one cooler than Jenny. There is just no one cooler than her.
What? How many episodes was this first season? With you said Kevin Smith's the last episode of the season.
Yeah, it was going to be 13 because, you know, Friday the 13th and type that type of thing. And I think we ended up, because we had the special antebellum, we basically 14 episodes. Right. So we're looking at 13 per season. We have already, gosh, I don't even know. We have a ton already shot that's going to air. So we're not taking a long break. We're not going to be like, you know, we're coming back in 2022. We'll probably come back before the end of the year. You know, I think... I don't know. There's no stress with this show. Mm-hmm. Like, none. There's nothing in having such a small... We also have Ryan Riddle, who I believe he was the one who... Him and Ryan Coltrera edited that particular episode. And we have this just amazing group of people around it. And it's, you know, a lot of... I a lot of my friends are kind of helping out. And it's one of those... It's nice to have so much control and not really worry about, well, should we not get political or should we avoid that certain subjects? It's never about that. And it's, I mean, again, we don't really, the beauty of the show is we can kind of go with anything. Like we had the, one of my favorite episodes was with a friend of mine who was in one of the best movies ever made, Anna and the Apocalypse. And we had Christopher Laveau and Sarah Swire join us, and the cast members. We also have the director coming next season. But it was such a lovely conversation. And Sarah told us a story that was so disturbing, like some kind of beastie monster that she saw one time.
This is her horror story?
This is her horror story. Yeah. So the show was designed that we would have a conversation about their career, and then we'll talk about their influences, and then we have a little stinger at the end where we talk about maybe a horror story or a ghost story, something that's happened to them, for people who actually believe in that stuff. And obviously there's some people that don't, so they can tell an on-set story or but we've had a lot of really good ghost stories, actually. Surprisingly, we've had a lot of really interesting ghost stories, which I don't think there's a show like that on TV. So, besides us. So I like that. I like that feeling.
That's awesome, man. I only got to watch one episode, but like Jimmy,
how dare you?
Like Jimmy O said, it is on Amazon Prime in the States, I guess. Fuck, I don't know, whatever that is. Vidi Space, if you want to check out all the episodes. Jimmy O's fucking sounds scary. It was pretty good, buddy. I'm glad I watched it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Means a lot coming from you, actually. It really does. Legit. All right,
let's talk about this podcast now. Where you get high, apparently, and talk about everything.
Yeah, it's well, so I met this guy, like, it's, I'm really focusing on little projects. I don't really want to work on anything big. It's not really my priority right now is with just family and trying to get, you know, a lot of challenges in my, you know, personal challenges and just trying to, you know, raise a kid and doing all this stuff and all this. It's a crazy world. But, so I met this buddy of mine and we just started talking, and we both are talking about weed and how it, you know, we would get in these long ass conversations. Like, we'd talk at 10 o'clock at night and we'd be on the phone for hours just talking about everything, like everything, whether it's movie. He's an actor. He's working to become an actor, and he's a talented dude, and he's really smart, really cool motherfucker. I love this guy. And, is it cool to say, call someone that you care, that you like, a motherfucker? I think so, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look at my shirt. You can see it. My Tanya motherfucker. Tucker. Oh. My Tanya Tucker shirt, because I like country music. So we're having these conversations, and we were like, well, what if we did a podcast? And we just, you know, originally we were going to do something a little darker. We were like, let's do, because the world is so fucked up, let's do Age of Rage, or let's do something like that. And just, and you have two pretty chill, mellow dudes. You know, the first episode, we were going to call it that. and it was going to be Age of Rage, and we were like, well, we're not really ragey, like, at all. Like, at all. So, at the end of the episode, we will have, like, we'll just have a conversation, we'll talk about the upcoming episode, we'll talk whatever, and we're going, you know, maybe we should do something else. Let's call it, like, I don't know. And I think the conversation went something like, oh, let's call it something stony, maybe. And I'm like, that's perfect. Something stony. So that's where the title came from. And we've shot a few episodes. And now here's the thing. It's so cheap. It's the lighting on my side is terrible. I mean, it looks like, right, what you see now, like, you're not recording a video, I'm no. assuming. But what you see right now is amazing compared to what, like, it's terrible. But with that said, it's meant to be a podcast as well, so, you know, people can listen to it. But we decided to film it, so we shoot it on Zoom, and we just, I don't know, it was good. It was like, this was really cool. It was really a fun thing to do. We're going all everything from Karens to you know, whatever cool movies are coming out to fucking weird ass shit that's going on. He works at Starbucks, so you know, he has a whole bunch of nightmarish stories over there. I mean, literally, they've had, like, yeah, you can imagine in the mask world and the I won't wear a mask, that type of thing. That's very popular. So we shot these episodes, and I was like, I was talking to Elizabeth. I'm like, you know, we have a podcast. She's like, I'm looking to do more podcasts. I'm like, well, I'll send you our first episode. It's a little different. It's not really genre. It's just, I mean, we talk genre, but it's just about everything. And she loved it. She's like, you guys are fucking great together. So let's just do it on VidiSpace. So guess what? I've got another show on VidiSpace. You know,
how many are on there right now?
None. Are literally, no one has, I haven't announced this yet. I'm announcing it here, basically. Right. Cool. I asked Justin, I was like, you know, Mr. Butts, can we do it here? And we do talk about his name on one episode, because I think it was important to talk about his name. The coolest guy, though, and we have this really weird, it's one of those, it's a really good relationship, and it's fun to just kind of talk. He, you know, he's smoking his blunts, and he's like, "Oh, it's a lot of fun." It's one of the most, honestly, these two projects have been about as fun as possible. They're just really rewarding, and honestly, like, I'm at a stage where if I don't like something, I'm not going to fucking do it. I'm just not. You know, I don't want to do any big projects. I'm not in the mood to do any of that shit anymore. You know, at least not for a while. My focus is another place right now. So,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know. It's like, you know, I'm working with another, I kind of do stuff with another website too called We Live Entertainment. So I've been doing some junkets for them and writing, you know, writing reviews for them. I get to do a lot of the smaller movies. You know, I actually will talk about one of the movies because I know you wanted to talk about some movies, but I did do the interview for the new The Way I See It, a new documentary from Pete Souza, the official press photographer for Obama.
Right.
That was amazing. So I did that for We Live, and it was a fun interview. I got to meet Laura Dern, who I've had a crush on since I was a child. Yeah. So, you know, I watched her grow up. So I'm like, wow, she's cool. She's awesome. So I think I was a little gushy on that one. I'm always a little gushy, though. So.
What are you doing for Joe Blow still? Are you just doing junkets?
Same reviews. I do reviews. Same thing, really. I haven't really changed. I do. It's really cool because I've seen the site grow, and I'm still loving that, dude. I still love the crew that we have. I still love the relationships I have made from the show. I mean, honestly, I've made so many friends from Joe Blow that it's an arrow in the head. And, you know, an arrow in the head, I still do. I do an article, Nick Gruff Investigates, where we, you know, me and Nick will be like, what could we do this week? And what, tell me something scary that you did, something cool, the Hinsdale House or all these cool places he investigates. So I just ask him a few questions and he gives me a few answers. I pop up a little article about his adventures in ghosting and hauntings. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, and like I said, it's like I'm really only doing shit that I like to do right now. Like it's been a nice thing. It's been a beautiful thing, and I haven't seen as many movies this year because I haven't. Before COVID, if I got a press release or something, I would go see a movie even if I wasn't covering. Sometimes I'd take my kid and take the family, whatever. Now I'm like, I'm watching what I have to for sure. I'm watching a few extras, but I'm going to have a lot to catch up on the end of the year, I think.
Do you watch any like TV shows? I remember back in the day you weren't a big TV guy, but no, nothing.
Still not. I have watched, what have I watched? I have watched a few. I loved Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great show. I really liked Euphoria. Oh, yeah. Although it took me a while to get into it. I love Zendaya. I think she's an interesting, really beautiful, really charming actress, and I think she's great in the show, and John Ailes is in it, and I love John Ailes. He's the coolest guy ever. Let's see. I watched, I loved Normal People. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the best TV shows I've ever seen. I just the frankness of it, the performances, that chemistry between those. Have you watched the show?
Never.
Oh my God. It's so all it is, it's based on a book. I haven't read the book. I don't really, I know nothing about it. I just know that a lot of people love the book, but it's these two people meet in high school. One's popular. She ain't. And she's really in love with the guy, and they start a relationship, even though he doesn't want anyone to know, because she's kind of a loser, blah blah blah. And then the show follows their relationship after, once they move into college and all that. And it's one of the most frank and honest depictions of toxic relationships that I've ever seen. And and they're both, they're not painted as, well, he's going to be the villain and she's going to be the hero. It's very realistic. It's very beautifully done. And my God, their performances are great scripts, great performances. I would watch this show again. It's I want to say Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's on Hulu. I get confused. They're all like Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, so many.
I know, it's Netflix. Netflix is becoming like, wow. I mean, Netflix had all these Oscar movies, and they were good movies. Mm-hmm. Jesus, did you see A Marriage Story?
Yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Laura Dern. Wow, she was amazing in that movie. Legit, she won the Oscar, right? Didn't she win?
I don't know if she did. She's settling into those major bitch roles in her old age. You know what I mean? Like, even the
although.
What was her big TV show? Big Little Lies?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
she was a major bitch in that. Like, she does it well. She does it really well.
Well, she was great in Little Women, and it was one of the most lovely. I think Laura Dern is probably one of the best actors working, like, for her age, she's always been good. I've always been a fan of hers ever since Smooth Talk. And I actually told her that. Amazing performance in that show. Her work with David Lynch, Wild at Heart. Mm-hmm. Come on. I mean, she's kind of amazing. So, yeah, it was. I've never watched any of the Big Little Lies or the Big Little People of Things and Things That People Do. And I've never watched one of those. I've heard they're great. I'm so picky about TV, and usually I liked Raised by Wolves. I thought that was really good. I actually did the junket for that.
Nice.
Wow, what a beautiful show. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah,
it looks great. Oh, my God.
I've been off work, so I haven't finished it. I think I'm three or four episodes left. But, yeah, I was really into it. It was my favorite show of the year so far.
Normal People is probably mine, and then Raised by Wolves maybe would be second, I think. I really... I'm trying to think of another show. I watched a couple of episodes. I have a weird thing about TV. Like, I'll start watching a show, even the show, I'll be into it.
Yeah.
Like Mandalorian, perfect example. I was digging it. I was watching it. I got to the fourth episode. And suddenly I was like, I'm not really feeling the need to continue to watch it. I just don't really care. That's my general TV. That's like, I'll, four episodes in, I'm suddenly like, I just don't care anymore. So if I make it past four episodes, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Even with Twin Peaks, that revamped season three, Twin Peaks was one of my favorite shows. I own the DVD. I've seen the first two seasons numerous times. I started watching the new season. I really dug it. I was really into it. Fourth episode comes, I just stopped watching. I don't know what it is. I don't like the idea of having to be kind of a slave to several hours of one show.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I think that, you know, I'm missing a lot of great TV. I am. I saw one episode of Breaking Bad. It was good, but I don't care. What was the Game of Thrones? I saw one episode and I'm like, it's fine.
Fine.
I'm not going to watch it.
Right. Stranger Things?
I just don't care. Four episodes.
Oh, Jesus.
Quit watching. Yeah, it's not that I don't like the shows. It's never that. Generally, if I don't like the shows, I'm done within half hour.
Right.
Like, if they're, I'm a very picky about that, but it's, for some reason, yeah, it's like the four, once it gets to four, if I make it past four, see, Euphoria was the opposite, because I was like, it was almost a chore to watch the first four episodes, and I was ready to quit, and then I watched the fourth episode, and I was like, I'll watch one more, so I watched five, and then I ended up watching all the episodes, because a big part of that was the cast. Mm-hmm. Zendaya is really great, and I liked the music, I liked a lot of the stuff that was happening in that.
Dark,
I'm like,
show,
okay.
Though. That's a really dark show.
It is. Well, I think I like human drama when it comes to TV. I'm a big fan, which is why I liked Raised by Wolves so much, is even though it is a spectacle. I mean, it's one of probably the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen on TV, like television-wise. But it is very character-driven. It's about a family. It's like Little House on the Prairie in space.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really what it is, except a very dark version of that. And wow, the performances, everything. But that visually stunning. I'm trying to think if there's another show I watched, like one season of, and I liked. I'm not a TV guy. Still, if they make a sequel, like a TV show for tentacles, I'll be all over that.
All right. Well, we're going to get into what movies you've watched right now. But listen. Were you able to hear the intro sounder and all that? Did you hear it?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, God damn it! I was going to play your sounders. You haven't heard the sounders in so long. I don't understand why you. Why you can't fucking hear it? Oh well, that makes no sense then.
I'll hear it. I'll get this big. I'll be all happy when I hear it, when I listen to show when you release it. You know all that.
Well, I'm not gonna play it if you can't hear it. So maybe I'll put it in the end when we're done recording, and then you can listen to it then. But
okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of your favorite stuff that you've seen lately that you're able to talk about. You brought up The Way I See It, and that looks really interesting.
The Way I See It.
I've seen the trailers. I've seen is just like fucking. It looks really, really interesting. I think this came out last week. Is that right?
It premiered yesterday, Friday, on MSNBC. I believe it's probably... So I spoke to Laura and I spoke to Pete about the film. And I definitely... Pete's a rock star. He's also freaking friends with my favorite singer of all time, Brandi Carlile, which just is like, love her so much, and she's in the movie. She's in the freaking movie. I was so happy. She's in there for like 2 seconds, but she's in the movie, and they play one of her songs. It's just about, you know, how it shows his time with Reagan, because he was part of the Reagan administration, and it shows his time with Obama, and It is, and it also shows how, like, Trump had posted something about signing a bill or something and saying, "Oh, I signed this, the veterans bill," and Pete went on Instagram, posted one of his photos of Obama signing that bill and said, "Oh yeah, I was there. It wasn't you signing this." So it was an it, he, he opened up about why he was telling a story. I mean, obviously he felt like he needed to speak out, and he'd never spoken out against a president before. But the movie really is just a kind of, it's not an anti-45 film necessarily. It's more the focus is on showing how close his connection was in the Obama White House, how much access he was given, and how really beautiful and fantastic it doesn't show it as, oh, everything's perfect, everything's rosy. It also showed that it was a challenge, and it was hard, and it was difficult, and there were a lot of times that it was a struggle. And that it's just such a beautiful portrait, and I it's hard to watch without feeling something. And I'm sure, like, if I'm sure Trump fans will hate it, because of, it is what it is. But I feel like everyone could get something out of it. Like, even if it's I don't know. It's tricky. We're in such a divisive time that, like, you just can't. Certain people, it's like, no. I won't even entertain that thought. So I think that's what's difficult right now, and that's why it's a. But it's a movie I would highly, highly, highly recommend to anybody, and it's probably free. On MSNBC, it's something that I think that people will, you'll feel, you'll get all the feelings.
Well, I
Let's
have
put
the
it that
feel.
way. You'll feel.
I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about because even watching the trailer, I'm just like, so yeah, like I told you earlier before the show, like we don't get too political, but I mean, it's just for a guy like me, mind you, I'm Canadian, it doesn't really matter to me that much, but just to see these pictures that he took, and there's some amazing pictures that he throws in the trailer. Obviously, going to show you some of the best ones.
So beautiful.
It just reminds me, like, oh my God, remember that? Remember when that was awesome? And it got the feels going right in the trailer. So I can imagine the entire story is just a true love letter to his time spent in that administration. And it's something that really interests me. I really want to see this.
There's one moment, and it's with Ron and Nancy Reagan, and oh my God, it's so fucking charming. It's like it's he was doing a photo shoot with them, and oh my God, even that, I'm like, wow, there was a time we had that. And it honestly, like, even thinking about it, kind of, it's hard. It's a little difficult to think about because you're like, wow, there is goodness out there. There is decency. There is morality. There is empathy. All these things that I think we don't really have right now for a lot of people and a lot of things. Yeah, man, it's I love this film, and I just I was so moved by it, and I'm so glad that they really rushed to get it out because they wanted to get it out before the election. That was their goal because they wanted people to see the story and hear his story. It was Pete was doing these town hall type meetings to talk about his time and show the photos and stuff. And that's kind of where a friend of Laura's saw it, and they were like, "Oh fuck, we need to put this on film." And that's how it came out. And I guess, obviously, like anything else, COVID made it a lot more difficult. So they had to kind of rush to, like, it suddenly became, okay, we're going to do this on Zoom. We're going to, all the production meetings, everything. So, but they did it. And I think, I was reading some of the Twitter responses yesterday when it premiered, and man, it got me. I was all emotional just reading the goddamn Twitter about it. I love this movie. Yeah. I love it. And I, yeah.
Was this supposed to come out in theaters? Was that the plan at the beginning?
I think so, possibly. Like, but I think in a weird way, it's probably good that it's so available.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you absolutely can just go on. And I, because I think it's an important film that I think we need to see. And that, like, just to see the difference, just to see what's going on, what's on the other side, and maybe what we could be, you know, how things maybe can get better and maybe can change. So, and please vote, you know, just get out there and fucking vote. That's really, that's what we need to do. And I mean, I know it's different for you guys. You're Canadian.
Sorry.
I love my Canadian people. I love my Canadian friends. I miss you guys.
All right.
Well, my best friend is Canadian, so there you go.
There you go. Me, right? That's who you're talking about? Me right now?
Duh, yeah.
What?
No, my flicks for Pans partner, too. Jason Coleman, he's Canadian. He's it's funny, all my friends from Canada are like, huh, maybe we're moving back. <Just kidding.
laughs> Maybe. All right. I've seen a couple of your posts in the last few weeks. There was another couple of movies that you've been raving about. I mean, the joke with you always back in the day was that you loved everything, but
yes,
what I've got from you tonight is that you've kind of, you know, you've pared down your love and you're just interested in what you're interested in. Okay. So I want to hear about, honestly,
sure,
like what else have you seen lately that's really been getting you pumped?
Well, the movie that I shocked, I had no expectations for, other than I like Dylan O'Brien. I think he's super talented and one of the nicest fucking dudes in the world. Oh, my God. He has a movie called Love and Monsters, and okay, it has a Jessica Henwick and him. And it is unlike any monster movie I've ever seen. It's basically about a guy who tries to get back to the love of his life. Mm-hmm. In a world that's overrun by giant killer insects and animals. Ooh, okay. And it's pure joy. Pure joy. This is it. Look, it's the thing about it is I saw I didn't watch it. I don't watch trailers anymore if I can avoid it.
Okay.
So I didn't watch a trailer, but I knew he was in it. So I was like, oh, I like him. And Michael Rooker is in it. Michael Rooker is amazing in anything. Let's be real. It's just got so much goddamn heart, dude. Yeah. It's literally one of the, and I'm watching it like, Jesus, Dylan is phenomenal. It's one of my favorite performances, not just of his. I mean, it's my favorite thing he's ever done by far, but I think it's one of the best performances of the year because it's so genuine and so vulnerable. I can tell you this, I think, because it doesn't spoil it too much. Basically, he plays a guy who is a part of this colony, and they, you know, everyone has someone. Everyone, you know, the people who've survived this whole devastation are all kind of hiding underground.
Right.
And he's alone, and, like, the big joke is, like, anytime someone needs something, and he's like, I can help, they're like, yeah, no, we're good. Because he's kind of useless.
Right.
And he has to find his strength. And my God, he's so fucking good in this. And I'm very impressed with him. And I love the movie. I love the movie. Like, it's, I'm going to buy it.
Are horror fans going to love this movie as much as rom-com fans?
I think, if you're looking for gore, you're going to be disappointed.
Okay.
It has some monsters, and they're cool, and there's a couple of kind of gooey, ooey, like, oh gosh, that's kind of creepy looking or whatever,
yeah.
But it's real, it's really character-driven and really, so I think the hardcore gore fans will be maybe disappointed, but if you like movies, and I'm going to name a couple movies that I really love that kind of skirts around the genre but still make something that's connecting, the Final Girls, okay, with Malin Ackerman, who actually we had the director and Sounds Scary, and I love Todd. That's a wonderful film. If you've never seen it, it's basically a slasher movie, but one of the most emotionally charged, bittersweet, heartbreaking movies you're gonna see. PG-13. There's no gore, and it's about a Jason type slasher killer. Mm-hmm. The other one would be Happy Death Day, mm-hmm. which another movie that could have easily been gory. It's a slasher film, but it's again a ton of heart. So I think we're seeing a lot of those. And Love and Monsters, I would put in that kind of camp, that these a movie that it's so entertaining too. Like you watch it and you're like, within minutes, you're like, okay, oh, this is awesome, this is awesome, this is awesome. And you're like, oh, wait, it's over? Mm-hmm. Wow, it's an easy watch. It's nice. An easy watch, and it's just a joy. One of my favorite movies of the year.
Nice.
Legitimately.
Is it out now? Is it like?
It is out now. It came out Friday, and it's, I highly, you can rent it for like $19.99. And sometimes that's a bit pricey, but you know what? Fuck it. That's a movie I almost rented it myself. I think I'm going to wait to buy it, but, That movie is great. Another one that's, you know, a little gorier, the Wolf of Snow Hollow, directed by Jim Cummings, is another freaking treat. A really great movie. A really smart take on the werewolf type film.
Okay.
A lot of good monster films coming out, I've noticed. Like, that kind of thing. Really wonderful film. Really, and again, it's a very, you know, Jim Cummings comes from a, you know, more character-driven background as well, with Thunder Road and everything. He adds that to this, but still with these really brutal... I mean, there's a couple pretty brutal sequences in it. That one is R, and it earns its R for the most part, I think.
Okay.
It's a really smart film. There's a couple of really brutal kills. And what are you drinking, by the way?
Right now?
Yeah.
A White Bronco Juicy IPA.
Oh, wow.
From a local brewery. You want some?
Oh, yeah, I'd love some. Yeah, okay, here. And then I got to give a shout out to my buddy Jeffrey Reddick, who you may know. He wrote a movie some people have heard of called Final Destination. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that one? Yeah, it's a little
very
movie.
Big. Just stop for 1 second. You've mentioned Happy Death Day now, and now you've mentioned Final Destination. These are the two series that are dominating my house right now because I've introduced the kids to them.
Oh, shit.
They're obsessed. They're obsessed with Final Destination. We went through all five in, I think, 5 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Happy Death Day has been actually revisited already within a week because they're obsessed with that, too. So you're hitting
great.
All the right
notes
right
now,
Jimmy.
Both of them are great.
Yep.
See? I know my shit, man. So Jeffrey, the guy who wrote Final Destination, he's a really good friend, and he's really talented, and he has his directorial debut out right now. It's called Don't Look Back, and it's another character-driven horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's not gory per se. It's got a couple moments, so there's no Final Destination death sequences, but the plot revolves around a woman who has a very tragic thing happened to her, so she's dealing with this tragic thing of losing someone that she loves. One day she's in the park randomly with a bunch of people, and some dude gets the shit beat out of him, and everyone just watches. They're like, oh wow. And you know, they pull out their phone and one guy films it, and it's after that happens, this group of people that kind of stood and watched, Bad Samaritans, I think that was the original title, they end up being like, getting kind of, not only does the public turn on them, but they end up dying off. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different animal than Final Destination, and it was a very low budget that Jeffrey was working with, but it's really good performances, a really diverse cast, and I think it's got a lot of heart, man. I actually bought it just because I got to support my boy Jeff, and I really enjoyed that movie. I've seen it twice. It's one of those I think it holds up better on the second viewing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Yeah, there's been a lot of really good, solid... this has been a good year for horror, mm-hmm. in general. We've had pretty much... Ever since the Babadook, we've had good horror, like on a regular basis, which is, I love it. We had, you know, whether you're looking for something like Midsommar or Hereditary or It Follows or The Witch or this year Invisible Man, or there's been so many great horror movies that even, you know, you have the Truth or Dare or some of the other lesser titles are really bad, there's always going to be something that's better and more interesting. And you know, like I said, I would easily recommend Love and Monsters, The Wolf of Snow Hollow, and Don't Look Back. And even I like the new Darren Lynn Bousman, Death of Me, with Maggie Q. I thought that was an interesting story, and I liked it. It was really good. It really, really good for... I like Darren Bousman in general. I think he's a good director. So, you know, had fun with that one, too. I mean, it's a lot of good genre. And of course, it's the 40th anniversary, Friday the 13th. I'm sure you've... Did you get the box set?
I don't think I have any. Let me check.
How dare... Wait, that's
Oh, yeah, I do have a box set. I have a box set. I forgot I had a box set.
How? Here's the thing, dude. I love the Friday the 13th movies too. I mean, it's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. It's really unhealthy. Like, the only one I didn't like was Jason Takes Manhattan.
Okay.
I didn't like that one. And frankly, I got the new box set from Scream Factory. I've been going through, and I'm actually on I got to the remake already. I'm at the last one. So I'm watching Jason Takes Manhattan, and I'm like, ah, fuck it, I like this one. I just like Jason. I just like the way those movies move. I was watching part 2 and 3, excuse me, back to back, and I was shocked at how well they move and how easy a watch they are. And I always revert to the classics. I always go back to the 80s slashers, and I love the kind of innocence of them, because it's, yeah, they get gory, yeah, they're kind of twisted, yeah, they're kind of weird, but like, I know there's a kind of a sense of fun and playfulness about them that I don't think you see as much in horror nowadays. The horror has gotten a little more serious. It's a little more, sometimes highbrow, but and then the problem is sometimes the fun horror movies just aren't very good.
Well, yeah, you know, you brought up Happy Death Day, I think is a very fun horror movie. Ready or Not was a very fun horror movie. That was fucking, mm-hmm. that was great.
Samara Weaving was phenomenal in that movie.
She's fantastic. Yeah. Even the babysitter, her babysitter movies, they're fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the stage now, right? Like, where I'm trying to introduce all this shit to my kids. The only problem is, like, so my oldest is 14, and I'm okay with showing him stuff like Friday the 13th and Halloween and stuff like that. It's just that the other two, who are 12 and 10, seem to tag along. So I can't whip on Halloween yet, fucking because of PJ Soul's tits, and I can't whip on Friday the 13th because of fucking tits. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it pisses me off that there's this gratuitous nudity, the thing that I loved when I was probably their age and when I was a kid, right? And no one was watching me, and I was just watching them. But to show them and just have this gratuitous fucking boob shot show for no reason. Let's be honest. My wife would just fucking hate me for it. So I can't justify, look, it's Friday the 13th. He needs to see it. So I'm struggling. I'm struggling right now between what to show him that's, you know, not too scary and fun, but also doesn't have fucking bush shots in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, yeah, no, I went through that too. And I showed, I don't remember how old my son was when I showed him. I was very, very careful about what I showed him. I think the first horror movie, classic horror movie he saw, I took him to Halloween.
Yeah.
It was in the theaters.
I think we talked, the last time we talked, I think was right after this.
Yeah. And I've taken him a few years. So the first time I took him, the nudity in that, the PJ Souls thing, it's so quick. That one didn't bother me. But like, you know, like the Friday the 13th, and don't get me wrong, they're part of that world. You have to have the girl that decides, well, it's really late, no one's around, I'm getting naked, I'm going to go swimming. But I did notice this is something I'm going to address right now, because it is interesting. In Freddy versus Jason, you know, Freddy figures out that Jason is afraid of water, right? Because there's that whole big scene, oh, that's his fear. I'm like, did we miss all the times Jason's like gone into a lake and killed someone in a lake?
Yeah.
Like that's happened several times. So yeah. I'm just like, clearly he's not that afraid of water. I guess it's just in his nightmares. I don't know. But yeah, there's, I didn't show him the Friday the 13th. I waited on those because they are a little more, you know, and the later Halloweens as well. They got a little bit more, you know, with the nudity and with the more gore. But Halloween is a isn't really that, it's more scary. It's just more absolutely. Chilling and more atmospheric. And that movie, I mean, still, come on. It's one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, I think
the original Halloween is perfect.
I think it's going to happen. I'm going to, I've been working on Jess, and I think Halloween night, because it's Saturday this year, I think we're going to watch Halloween. I think it's going to happen.
I would recommend, highly recommend, you check out The Final Girls if you haven't seen that.
I saw it when it first came out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would recommend showing them that.
Okay, absolutely.
Because it's also, there's the big mother-daughter relationship in that movie, which is fucking A, that's really charming and really kind of depressed, a little sad, yeah. Actually. But Taissa Farmiga and Mal Ackerman are so good in that movie. I think that would be a good one, and I think your wife would like it, too.
Yeah.
And there's no nudity, there's no gore. Yeah. So
right.
It's more of a, yeah, I would recommend that.
I like
that
it. I like the recommendations. Thank you.
Definitely that, definitely Love and Monsters. I guarantee you they'll have a blast with that.
Because
the monsters are huge and cool and scary looking, and Dylan and Jessica are just delightful. And the whole cast is delightful. Michael Rooker, and there's a little girl that I cannot remember her name at the moment, but they're just the most adorable little side characters. I love this movie. I love it. I'm gushing about Love and Monsters. It's just a delight.
Right.
Yeah, it's like one of those movies you just have fun with, and it's really nice to have fun right now.
All right.
You know?
It's on the Halloween Horror Nights docket. Today had some hours to kill. I showed my oldest. The other two were fucking off on their whatevers, their tablets or Xboxes. I showed them
Human Centipede.
What? Human Centipede.
Human Centipede.
No, I didn't show them that. I showed them.
Oh darn.
Back to back, Drag Me to Hell and Tremors. So I notched off two quickly, and I was really happy with that. Two great
those are
fucking
good. Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They're really good. You know, it's, have they seen Poltergeist yet?
Yes.
The original? Okay. I mean, that's, weirdly enough, that's like, that movie's kind of like weird, like weirdly gruesome.
Yeah,
there's a couple scenes of that. Yeah. Like, wow, that's like, that movie holds up really well, too. Like, a lot of it. Another, again, when you have great characters like Joe Beth Williams and Craig T. Nielsen, you know, you're just, they're cool. They're like, they seem like, yeah, those are real parents. Those are real parents dealing with real issues and just completely over their head. It's, they don't know what they're doing and they're freaking out. And it's, and you couldn't have had two better actors.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that movie. I love Poltergeist.
Yeah, we just recorded a commentary coming soon to the Binge Media Network, but Moreno, myself, and Pete recorded a commentary, and it was a fucking blast. It's just such a fun movie.
Nice, nice, yeah. I it's weird because, like, I've been kind of, like, I've been doing, I do these podcasts for, with a few guys every Halloween, every October, with Jason Coleman, my friend Aaron Newworth, and Brandon Peters, and Abe. What is Abe's last name? My God, I'm blanking. I'm getting old. And we do like certain subjects every, like, we do a weekly, every week we do, like, we guest and do this podcast. We always, this year we were talking about diversity in horror. And we're actually going to the Giallo, or however you say that. I can't think this evening, but I it's one of those. It's fun to kind of go back and research some of the old horror movies that I loved as a kid that I had to stay up late to watch. I actually just bought The Boogans on Blu-ray. I don't own The Boogans. How could I not own The Boogans?
I don't think I've seen that, and I don't even remember. When I was a kid, probably.
Wow. So, yeah, that was one of those, you know, I remember, like, I almost missed the days where you'd set the alarm. Like, I don't know about you, but I would set the alarm for 3 a.m. and I'd sneak downstairs. And so my parents were in bed and I'd watch The Boogans or some cheat like Porky's 2 or whatever happened to be on late night cable, you know, and I'd be like, I kind of miss that. But now it's like, oh, I want to watch anything. I'll just turn on the TV and find it. And, you know,
yeah.
Just it's weird. It's like people have it really good today when it comes to entertainment, how yeah. accessible it is. Everything, mm-hmm. everything.
I remember sitting in video stores, just sitting on the ground waiting for somebody to bring back the copy of whatever I wanted to watch. Hours. Mm-hmm. I would sit in hours. I'd find a corner yeah. and I'd just fucking sit there. Every time I heard a tape drop in the fucking return bin, I'd get up, I'd walk up to the front. Nope. I'd go back and sit back in the fucking corner.
I interviewed, which was crazy. I interviewed Dave Franco because He-Man has a great movie, The Rental. It's fantastic.
Yeah, saw that. That was good.
Really good, right? Mm-hmm. Shit, that was good. So I did an interview with him, and I've interviewed him a lot, and we get along very well. He's one of the nicest fucking guys in the business. I love Dave, but he was talking about how when he was a kid, he loved horror, and he got a job in a video store. But they couldn't pay him, so what they do is they'd let him rent the movies for free. Literally what I did. That's it. And we were like, oh my god, you did that too? That it was so bizarre. And there was a video store called, I forgot what it was called, Stokes Brothers or something like that. I don't remember. And they were really nice, and they were like, okay, the little kid wants to, you know, put away the little tags, and I would do that, and I would take home, oh, I just want to see I Spit on Your Grave. Have you shown them that yet? Have you shown your kids I Spit on Your Grave?
I have not shown them that, no.
What about Cannibal Holocaust?
No, that has not come up either, no.
Deep Throat? Well, it's not really horror, though. That's not really horror.
Last week, we did the horror movie tournament, the official Binge Media horror movie tournament. We've been doing a lot of tournaments lately. 150 horror movies faced off. Jamil, who do you think won the horror tournament?
Wow. But were you guys?
Yeah.
I would say Moreno.
No. Who do you... What movie, I'm saying. What movie won the
tournament? Oh, what movie? Oh, yeah. I was like thinking, who? Well, I would say probably either The Exorcist or The Shining or Halloween.
Yeah, The Exorcist won. I believe it faced off against Halloween in the final. I think so.
You know what's really weird? I love The Exorcist. It's an amazing movie. Doesn't scare me at all. It never has.
Are you a religious
never.
Person?
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that stuff, so. No.
I'm not either, but it's always fucking bothered me. I think The Exorcist is why I'm not a religious person, I'll be honest with you.
Maybe.
It just fucks with me, man. It's shit that I don't understand. And mm-hmm. I'm like, could that happen? Like, you know what I mean? My whole life has been that way. I'm just like, does this really happen? Like, what the fuck is happening right now? It's always got me. The fact that she's a little girl and a monster, and it's just the greatest horror film I've ever, ever, ever witnessed. It will never change. Nothing will ever beat it.
I prefer Halloween because my thing with Halloween is that could happen easily. Mm-hmm. It does, actually. But with that said, The Exorcist is a movie that I think again, one of the best movies ever made, for sure. It's a fantastic film. There, you know, a good horror movie doesn't necessarily have to scare you because maybe you're not afraid of certain things, but you can at least appreciate the art of it.
Yep.
The Exorcist, I started to appreciate really when, after the death of my father, mm-hmm. and after I watched it after he passed, and I had my little boy at the time. He was much younger at the time. And the scene where Linda Blair comes in and pees in front of the party, I think is the most heartbreaking, scary scene in the film.
Yeah,
because
an important scene, man.
It's a very important scene, and it's a powerful scene. And yeah, I mean, that movie now I love. And I like it. It was one of those, as a kid, I was like, well, it's kind of long. That was, I was like, it's okay, but it's kind of long. And I like the cheesy slashers. I was like, I like the, you know, the weird shit. But yeah, that's a movie that, I mean, obviously it wasn't as good as The Heretic, Exorcist 2. That's a masterpiece. I can't even say that as a joke. It's so bad. Oh my God. I own it, but it's still really
shitty.
Why
would you own that? You own the worst movies. I'm not...
Well, to be fair, I own the box set.
Oh, okay.
So, like, right. You know, I got the box set. And I like, Exorcist 3 is actually really good. Mm. Like, that's an underrated film. And that's a really good movie. Oh, Claudia Conway just posted on TikToks, just so you know. So, there you go.
Okay.
Right. Hey, Kellyanne Conway's daughter. You haven't heard about this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
She's I just literally got a notification. I followed her just because after I heard about one TikTok that she posted where she basically outed her mother, and it was for COVID. And it was one of the funniest things ever. I'm like, well, and then I watched one of where then she's like, okay, I'm a 15-year-old girl, and you journalists, like, you men are following a 15-year-old girl. That's really creepy. And I was like, that's funny. I like that. I like her. I think we won't go into the family dynamics, but we'll get back to horror. But yeah, like, that just made me laugh. you can edit that out.
No, it's okay. We don't edit anything. I don't have time to edit. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. But yeah, so Halloween would probably be my favorite horror movie just because I saw it at the right time. Mm-hmm. Had a big crush on Jamie Lee Curtis. And I just, you know, I liked everything about it. I liked the girls in it. They all reminded me of, like, they just felt real. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved all the girls in that. And that's something I feel like horror kind of, you know, as slasher films kind of grew, you suddenly didn't have the kind of real, like, PJ Souls character would become a stereotype, cliche of, oh, we have the slutty girl. And yeah, look, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Halloween 4 had a pretty good slutty girl, and she, you know, I liked her. But I feel like I kind of like the naturalness. Even Friday the 13th, the original, they don't really have stereotypes. They're starting to be. They can. The jokey guy still feels like a legit real human being. The slutty girl isn't really a slut. She just has sex with Kevin Bacon. You know, and I mean Kevin Bacon. So I guess that's, you know,
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, why not? So I just, I love slashers. So I guess I grew up liking that more. And religious horror movies never really, I don't know, they never really freaked me out. And I mean, I've done ghost hunts. I've done stuff with Nick Groff. I've done kind of weird stuff. So I believe there's things out there that are unexplainable for sure.
Right.
But I just, the idea of exorcisms and stuff like that, I'm not sure I'm fully in on the, yeah, that happens. But the best thing, I did the junket for The Conjuring, and I remember Ron Livingston said something that really made sense to me, you know, because I asked if he believed in it, if he believes in ghosts, he's like, you know, I really don't. I'm kind of skeptical, but you can't be a skeptic and not be skeptical of your skepticism. Mm-hmm. Basically. So I'm like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know what's out there. We don't know if God, I don't know. Maybe there really is a God out there. Maybe there is heaven and hell. Maybe there is, God, this is getting deep.
I want to hear more of these ghost hunts, please. What did you, what did you see on these ghost hunts? Did anything scare you?
Oh, dude, there's a couple on video. Okay. You can just, Joe Blow, Omen House.
Okay.
This guy I know, he has a very, he built his house about 50 yards or something from where Sharon Tate was murdered.
Okay.
And I've had so many weird experiences there. We shot one video. It was a poltergeist event. It was the remake they had a thing at his house, and they had like a tarot reader, and they had a seance, and they had all the stuff for the press to come out. And because I know David, I stayed around a little bit, me and my cameraman, Ryan Coltrera, and both of us are into ghosts, and we do ghost hunts, and we've done a few. So we were kind of doing, and dude, weird stuff happened. One of the weirdest things happened that night that I didn't have video footage, and I can't really prove, but I just know it happened for me, is I went to open up his bathroom just because, well, sometimes you got to do stuff. And I had to use the bathroom. And I wasn't sure someone was in there because it was shut, but I went to open the doorknob, and it, like, someone hit it. I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
They like basically closed it. I was like, okay, sorry. So I was waiting. No one came out. And finally, David comes in, and he's like, what are you waiting down here for? I'm like, I gotta use the bathroom. He's like, and I think someone's in there. They've been in there. He's like, I don't think so. He opened the door. No one was in there. Nobody was in there. And then they had a toy. That it was this little piano toy, and it kept going off. Specifically, if you're in a room with a bunch of people and you go, oh yeah, there's a piano thing that keeps going off, it would go off. Mm-hmm. When you'd mention it, it would go off. So I was doing my intro. The last thing we did, me and Ryan stuck around till like 1 a.m. And I was doing my intro, and I said, some weird things have been happening, blah, blah, blah. And as I say that, the little piano starts going off. So we, you know, Ryan, ironically, my sound scary partner, he focuses on that, and then he moves back to me. And when we went to edit this, you hear a little girl laughing when I start. And this is 1 a.m. There is no little girl there. And then we were doing David comes down. We're still filming because we're just filming everything. And David goes, anything happened? And I'm like, yeah, a few weird things happened. Whatever, right? When we went to edit that, you hear David, you hear me, and then you hear clear as day, here's something, a little girl talking. There was no little girl there, dude. So there was a lot of activity there. There was a lot of activity. I went with Nick Groff he does these things, Nick Groff tours, where you can join him and a lot of stuff, crazy stuff has happened. And we went to West Virginia Virginia City, Nevada, sorry. And we spent a lot of time at the Washoe Club. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I've been there twice and the weird shit happened all the time there. But this last trip, I don't tell the story that often. And I think I've mentioned it on Nick Ruff Investigates, but that's about it. I injured myself. I was carrying all the equipment. Me and Ryan were just kind of carrying all of the equipment. Yeah. And I injured my neck really badly. And we'd just gone there, and I'm like, oh, shit. And my neck was hurting bad, but not terrible. We went to the cemetery there, which is huge. And my neck was hurting. So one of the guys there that worked at the Washoe Club also worked at the, oh gosh, the Mackey Mansion, I believe it's called. And he was going to give us a private tour, me and Ryan. So we're like, okay, cool. That'd be awesome. And we're like, so after the Washoe Club, I walked over because I was still feeling, I was in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I'm going to go through this. So we'll do our thing. We got to the Mackey Mansion. And Ryan shows up, and he was kind of telling me about the history, blah, blah, blah. And I was hurting. I was in a lot of pain, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And we started doing the tour, and as we were about to walk upstairs to do the tour, literally a door got slammed. No one was there. Yeah. Nobody was there. We're like, okay, well, we're in for something now. And then we started, you got chills. It was like so creepy. My neck was getting, oh, I was just, oh, it was killing me. And then we went to the lady who owned, the lady who basically runs the place. And she showed us some images that she got on her phone. One was frightening, dude. It was like this, she showed her in a room, just kind of reading a book. And she just did kind of dark in the room. Literally a shadow thing got up and walked right around her. And it was just a shadow. There was no detail, nothing. Right. It was just the shadow. I'm like, okay, this is fine. At this point, I'm thinking I need to go to the hospital. It's bad. I was like, it was so painful, dude. I was like, there's no, I gotta drive back to fucking Vegas, to Los Angeles tomorrow, and my neck is freaking killing me. So I'm like, I told Ryan, I'm like, dude, why don't you do the seance or whatever we're gonna do with the rest of the ghost tour? I can't do this. I've got to go back to the hotel. I'm gonna see if I can rest, see if I can, you know, get it, feel better a little bit. Literally, the second I walked off that property, my neck wasn't that bad. It was fine. It was like, one of the freakiest things that happened. We were walking by the old servants' quarters, and the guy, the host, was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, this is where a lot of people see the man in the hat." And I'm just like, that just gave me chills, and I was like, I swear to God, whatever it was basically saying, you know what, you're not, because Ryan did stay, and some really weird shit happened, yeah. Like voices and all the stuff. So it was a real. If you ever want to go to a place and get creeped out and like have a Virginia City, you should come. No, it'd be fun.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So yeah, we've been doing a lot of that. That's where me and Ryan Coltrera, we love that shit. And we're like, you know, that's why being a part of Indie Space is so cool, because Vidi also has a lot of, you know, paranormal shows and all that stuff. So it's just really, dude, it's cool. It's really, you should get Vidi Space. It's really awesome.
All right. All
everyone
right.
should get Vidi Space.
I can sign up.
Watch okay. Vidi thank shit. You. Yay. Well, you can do a preview. If you don't like it, you can always, I think there's like a 7-day preview or something like that. So
I can do
it's really worth it.
Can I do a preview and watch all your shit and then cancel it?
I guess so. But you may love it. You may love it. We have, see, you should definitely watch the Kevin Smith one, because that's really, really good. So,
yeah, I'm into that.
You may dig it. It's a good channel. I'm really proud of what they've done. There's so much great content. There's good movies on there too that you don't see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Vidi. It's a real pleasure to be a part of that group and be creating content for them. It's really exciting. I love it.
It's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Jimmy, this has been fucking, I love catching up with you, man. This is the fucking best.
I know. Let's do this more often. I think we could do this more often. I think that's, you know, it's been too long. And yeah, you asked me a couple times. I was always like, oh shit, that weekend I can't, or this weekend I can't. And
I thought it was, like, I thought that there is a whole Joe Blow conflict and maybe he was telling you not to do that shit, but all right.
No. Look, it's not, that was so long ago. There's no bad blood anymore. I mean, I don't think there is. We grow up. We just do. And it's silly to hold on to. Like, I'm getting to a point in my life where even people that are horrible, that I have really bad, breakups with, or just bad experiences with, it's just not meant to be. We're not meant to be friends. We're not meant to be connect. We're not meant to be in each other's lives. And right. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you grow up and things, you change. And I think that's what happened here. And I'm like, honestly, I did, you know, I how much I love it there,
mm-hmm.
you know how much, I don't know. It's weird. It's, it was never that. It was never that. It was always just being busy. And now with COVID,
you're home.
I got lots of, I got time on my hands. So you're taking me away from watching Friday the 13th, the remake again. For the 20th time. So that's what I'm doing tonight.
All right, buddy. This has been awesome. I'm so happy we got to catch up. Yes, you're right. We should do this more often. I will reach out to you whenever I get a chance. Hopefully, you're less busy nowadays. Doesn't sound like it, but from everything we've heard tonight. But hopefully that hopefully Murano can be on next time too, because I'm sure he'd love to talk to you. About whatever. Ammon's not around as much anymore. He is kind of moved on, but he pops in here and there.
Well, we gotta bring Pete. I've never actually gotten to do anything with Pete, and I love it. I love his music. I love. Oh, I'm a fan of Pete, man. He's awesome. He's awesome.
If I can, I want to schedule with Pete just so I can get a new Jimmy O sounder, because his sounders are the greatest thing. They're like, you know, they're the very high point for our podcast. And if I can get a new Jimmy O sounder, I'll do it just for that.
Okay, let's do that. Let's the next one do. Well, you know what? Let's do when season two of Sound Scary is coming.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's do it.
It's a date. All right. Let me know when that happens, and I'll make it. I'll make space for you.
It's gonna be soon.
Oh, okay.
We're not taking a long break. So I don't know when. We haven't decided yet, but I don't think it's gonna be a long break. And then, you know, I'll also be able to. By then, something Stony will be on too. So we'll have a few things to talk about. So.
All right. All right, Jimmy, this has been awesome. So happy you could join us. Thanks, everybody. I wish, like I said, I wish they could be here, but they're not. They all got something to do this weekend. Fuck them. But I got Jimmy.
Losers.
Out, so the biggest fucking show of the year. All right.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks for reaching out, man. That was fun.
All right, man. See ya. And then she wonders without knowing, where did we begin? Jimmy O. With Jim Lock in the mix again.
Jimmy O.
He fucking likes everything.
Jimmy O. She loves me so she hates. Out of
time. Jimmy O. Jimmy O. Jimmy O. Jimmy O.
It's time to bring it all down to street level with the Joe Blow Movie Podcast, Man on the Street. JoeBlow.com's West Coast correspondent. The man with the stash so big he can smell his first girlfriend. He's Jimmy O, and he's talking with Hollywood's best and brightest right here on the street.
I play the street life with the only man I know. Street life.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.